Steve here. Can you read this out for me? We're starting with OSW.
OSW is getting its very own t-shirt. That's right. You too can rep your favourite bunch of racist Irishmen.
This is obviously going to be one take left of as it is.
Pre-order at t-shirt.oswreview.com. That's T-S-H-A...
T-shirt?
The little shirt.
I'll try that again. That's T-S-H-I-R-T.oswreview.com. Now!
Or have an order now.
Order now! Order now!
Welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling video podcast. Filmed in glorious grapple vision and encoded with blast processing, we chronologically critique wrestling storylines pay-per-view by pay-per-view. This is your host, your boy Jay Hunter. Joined as ever with Steve number one. Who's the cunt?
Neither.
And Steve A. It's ECW Heatwave 98, and it's coming up right now. Noggers. Happy days of
Boys.
Boys.
How is FIFA?
FIFA, if you're OOC, it means that I'm happy. If you're the universe, it means that balance has been restored.
Balance has been restored.
And I whooped his ass.
But this just evens out because the last time I actually beat Steve, that never happened. He's like the FIFA master.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, tremendously positive response to our Barely Legal episode.
Woo!
Yeah.
Ah, oh dear! John Cronus! The greatest wrestler ever!
Ass, baby! Ass! Woohoo! Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery out of sight! Barely Legal?
In the pocket.
And we're here at the fan-voted original ECW episode. In the middle of summer 1998. A fucking great time to be a wrestling fan. New fans will never know what it's like to be around when wrestling is truly hot. Like, intense fucking mainstream hot. Mm. It's like WrestleMania week. Every week. Between Raw and Nitro, roughly 10.5 million Americans were watching wrestling every Monday.
Wow, that's like more than double than now, right?
Yeah. WWF had exploded in popularity following Mike Tyson at WrestleMania 14, kicking off the Attitude Era. Austin vs. McMahon, Rock Triple H heading the Nation vs. the DX feud, and my boy, Steve Blackman, kind of just sitting there, staring blankly. In Atlanta, WCW were in their boom period too, with the split of the NWO into heel Hollywood Black and White and the Red and Black face Wolfpack. Man, they had a fucking jacked roster. Raven, Saturn, Jericho, Benoit, Eddie, Malenko, Ray, Brett, Booker, Giant, Hogan, Savage, Flair, Perfect, Hall, Nash, Sting, DDP, Goldberg, and on top of them all, Lex Luger. But what of ECW? Since barely legal, ECW had been producing a pay-per-view every 2 to 3 months, and as their pay-per-view availability grew, so did their audience, bringing in a steady 70 to 75,000 each time. We left barely legal with Terry Funk as ECW champion. Since then, he dropped it to Sabu in August, retired, wrestled in the WWF, and retired again. See you in WCW. In the meantime, Shane Douglas picked up his fourth ECW World Championship. ECW was still bleeding stars. Funk's gone, Raven's gone, Saturn's gone. They couldn't ever match WWF or WCW's pocketbook, but they could showcase fresh new talent and maximise established talent and build compelling storylines around them in a grungy, uniquely hardcore setting. So let's take a look at what's often regarded as the pinnacle of their supercards, Heatwave 98. Oh, by the way, let's just get this out of the way. You fucking ECW marks who say this is the best ECW pay-per-view of all time? Yeah, maybe. You got a point.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Harrow Arena in Dayton, Ohio!
From the Harrow Arena in Dayton, Ohio. It's August 2nd. It's ECW Heatwave 98. The guys are watching the live version, 2 hours 45 minutes?
Yep.
And I'm watching the Pioneer DVD version, cut entrances and promos, clocking in at 2 minutes. 2 hours 19 minutes.
Nice. And 20 minutes, that's not bad.
By the way, I was very happy to watch the 2 hours 45 minutes.
I was very happy to watch 2 hours 25 minutes.
Okay, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
All right, so I assume I'm missing loads here, all the bits in between matches. So if I'm missing anything, you guys will have to jump in.
No probs.
Right off the bat, much improved cameras and lighting rig. Very grungy. Everyone is so fucking sweaty.
I imagine this place was literally like a sweat box, just a fucking furnace with a few thousand people in.
And the BO, can you imagine?
Yeah, much bigger arena, 4,376. They don't like the crowd, it's like Mania 1 all over again. Mm-hmm. The commentators tonight are Joey Styles, Francine, oh fucking hell, your boy, Shane Douglas.
He looks like a mixture of John Cena with his bright coloured t-shirts and jorts, and DX Triple H with a stupid leather paddy cap backwards.
Champ, you're looking great as always.
Thanks, Joe. You don't look bad yourself tonight.
I bought a new suit. It's double-breasted, like Francine.
But Joey, I bet you your suit didn't cost you $6,000, like...
Our inaugural contest tonight is Justin Credible versus Jerry Lynn. Both men debuted September 97 together and have been feuding since June. Winner gets bragging rights, not the pay-per-view. Nothing.
The winner gets to win. There's absolutely nothing on the line for their best of series.
What's wrong with bragging rights occasionally?
Why can't you get a shot at the TV championship? I mean...
What do I get from beating your ass at FIFA? Bragging rights, Steve.
Fucking we're not pro. Rights. We're not professional athletes, you know, and these are meant to be professional athletes.
Someone give Steve a dollar, for God's sake. The heel has backup whilst the face goes it alone, accompanied by his goons Chastity, Nicole Bass, the former bodybuilder of Howard Stern show guest fame, and Jason, billed as the sexiest man on earth.
That's what?
Yeah.
Jay, who's the sexiest man on TV?
Kilroy.
So where exactly does this guy Jason get off calling himself the sexiest man on earth? think Kilroy Silk might have an issue with this.
Mm. It's PJ Polacco, a.k.a. Just Incredible. Rat-faced knacker.
I've been rat fink.
Oh yeah, this one, Nicole Burse, right? She's like, what does China have that she doesn't? Why wasn't she China? I mean, like, she was in WWF for a while, yeah?
China was there first, yeah.
Oh, was that it? Oh, yeah. We can't have two. Okay.
And she's fucking dog ugly as well.
So she's China. More attractive than China.
Really? If there's a club, I'll do China. You do her.
Can you just put like two pictures side by side? Get a poll going and we'll fucking sort this shit out.
Don't eat before this review.
Oh.
Just incredible. He's facing by himself.
Jerry Lynn. Lads, is it just me or has Jerry Lynn looked old forever? Hasn't changed.
Yeah.
An old man, you know, like an, you know, the train keeper in Matrix Revolutions?
Sorry, getting the Matrix into OSW. Sorry. I fucking love it.
Sorry, can you move along, please? Once some scruffy beggar is blocking the door. Before we kick off, oh man, check out the ref's half red and black polo top. So obviously enough... Steve! What football jersey?
Whoa.
Is this ref?
Beautiful.
I did ask our fans to have a goosey, and there's 162 entries.
Holy shit!
What jersey is ref Jim Molyneux? He is Team Advance Auto Parts.
Nice! Yeah. That's perfect.
AC Milan training jacket.
You see, it's AC Milan training jacket rather than AC Milan jersey, so that's acceptable.
In the 80s.
He is. Hello? You're. Oh, fucking hell.
Jay versus technology.
Australia's Essendon Football Club polo top.
Not bad.
Is that a woman's top? It is. It's a woman's version. Double-breasted, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Special Police Delta Red Power Ranger.
Oh, beautiful.
Scotland's St. Mirren 2012 and 13 away.
That's the spirit of the thing, yep.
XFL's All-Star jersey.
Oh, that gets Brucey bonus points for being wrestling related.
Team Catholic Cardinals. Darts's Phil the Power Taylor.
Nice.
And of course, Steve, what bar is Jim Molyneux?
I've Kit Kat Dark.
Boom, right there.
Ah, give that man a can of Coke, whoever said that in. Beautiful. Perfect. Also, monochrome full.
Kick off, we get an example of cunty fans. Lynn delays doing a corner jump turn and sunset flip spot, and it gets you fucked up chance. Like, he was half a second delayed.
There's not many in this pay-per-view, though.
It's like, we just need to chant this any chance you get. Bit mean. Lynn repeatedly gets the better of Credible until he leapfrogs and counters a tilt-a-whirl into an inverted DDT. Joey Styles. Unlike Barely Legal, where he thanks wrestling journalists for his crib notes, here he insults wrestling journalists for disregarding Credible's wrestling acumen. This is because ECW shoved Credible down everyone's throats as this amazing talent. And obviously enough, there's backlash. Bollocks, he's amazing, he's not great.
The longer the push went on, the more bollocks he turned into. Like, by the time he came to the WWE, everyone hated him.
I thought that was quite cunty, calling out wrestling journalists, because their primary source of free advertisement before getting on TNN was being covered by journalists in these newsletters and magazines.
There's a nice spot where Jerry Lynn reverses That's Incredible to hit a nice crossbody for a two. Jerry Lynn hits a nice Ted Scissors, followed up by a big planchet hit the outside. It gets a good pop. Woeful bit of selling by Just Incredible. It's Kane-esque. Jerry Lynn goes to hit like a face planter on Credible, and he takes the bump on his knees, and the fans boo at him. Good. Joey Styles then actually does really, really great work and covers for him, saying that he landed on his knees because he had the timing and the ring generalship to know that he was going to do that move and to lessen the impact. Just Incredible hits the bum run to the corner that Umaga used to hit.
Ah.
However, he does it to a chair that world's sexiest man, Jason, is holding up over his face. And then he follows that up with a lovely sit-down powerbomb onto the chair for a two. Gets a really good pop. There's some outside interference by Jason and Nicole Bass. Brawling on the outside, blah, blah, blah. Rest spots. Pin reversals. Oh, yeah, sorry. Joey Styles keeps calling sit-down powerbombs tiger bombs. Isn't a tiger bomb only when you double under the arm? Good, because he calls it about 20 times in this show, which is also another point. Damn it, D-Lo. Everyone uses the same fucking move, the sit-down powerbomb.
Brawl to the outside. PJ steals a fan's full cup of beer and corks Lynn with it. Cunt. It's like £5. Jerry gets the heat with a succession of crisp moves. A bridge out and powerbomb. Top rope hurricane runner. DDT on a chair. Capped off by a wonderful top rope hurricane runner to the outside through a table. Oh, there's no crash mats or anything else. Just, splat.
Another point that Joey makes, he's like, there are no black mats outside the ring in ECW because we're tough. That's why half your roster is dead 15 years later.
And lots of tables to break people's falls. Though.
Yeah.
Lots and lots.
I'd rather land on a table than land on those black mats.
Yes, please.
Definitely.
Yep.
So the finish is, Justin's goons run interference. Jason eats a tiger bomb. Actually, it's a sit-down powerbomb. Bass, after a horrendous double axe handle, gets a low blow and a chair shot. Because she's a man, baby.
I was like, sorry, they're trying to say that she actually has balls.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite humorous.
90s bra. And Chastity gets a tombstone. The distraction pays off and Justin is able to execute a Brett's rope. That's incredible. His tombstone finisher and gets the win and the three.
And it was incredible.
What do you think?
I really enjoyed this match. I hate Justin Credible. I think he's one of the most overpushed average guys ever, but this was a really good match. I thought both men came out of the match like looking great, and I was like, okay, they'll move on to new feuds and they'll be hot feuds. And the only thing I didn't like about this match was the ending. Two big double gorilla thumbs up for this match.
I thought it was a pretty good match, but this is the summer series and then it ends with a fuck finish, which was disappointing.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Jerry Lynn. He is a very good wrestler.
He's
tremendous.
He got better for a long time. Like, by the time he got to ROH in 2006, he was awesome. He was so good. Like, even better than he was here.
Yeah. Didn't see much of that. All I remember is his very short stint in WWF.
It was depressing.
Jerry Lynn.
He did make it into SmackDown Shut Your Mouth.
That's right, yeah.
He was in
the first SmackDown game on the PS2, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Shut your mouth.
You shut your mouth.
SmackDown, shut your mouth.
Mouth your, shut it.
Your mouth, shut you.
Down Smack.
Every Irish indie promo in the history of Irish wrestling. Credible and Lynn would both serve in ECW until it closed. Lynn, man, he had that incredible feud with RVD in 99. That's amazing. Both Credible and Lynn would hold the ECW world title before the doors were closed. So that'll give you an indication of where they were at that time.
Yeah.
The following year, Nicole Bass would wangle a job in the WWF, being paired with Val Venus and Deborah. Her big moment was a mixed tag match at Over the Edge 99. Just kind of glossed over in history. She abruptly left after filing a sexual harassment lawsuit against the WWF and the Brooklyn Brawler.
Sexual harassment Brawler.
It was dismissed.
God. Who would want to molest her?
It's not me. I
wouldn't. I don't know. Maybe like Big Papa Pump would be like, oh my god, she's got muscles like me, that's so hot, look at the Adam's apple on that.
It's the perfect crime. Who believe you?
Chris Candido and Lance Storm were quite possibly the most technically proficient tag team that ECW has ever had the honor of promoting as the World Tag Team Champion.
There's a promo package with Paul Heyman talking about the tag team of Lance Storm and Chris Candido. He really puts over their team, their title reign, the new champions, RVD and Sabu. Lance Storm turning heel, ripping Ting's ear off, and their current feud. It was just a really, really great package. Like,
doesn't Heyman do all the voiceovers? Yeah, which is
all
great.
Of them. I think there's like two or three on this whole show, and they're all excellent. Like,
and two bonus points for Jay: tag team breakup angle, your favorite, and well, when Storm gets into the ring, the little man bulge he's got going on in his tights. You love a bit of that, like.
That's why I support athletic supporter. Cups. I don't want to see your todger.
Someone should have told that to Taz.
Match number two is Lance Storm versus Chris Candido with Tanny. So the match we didn't get at Barely Legal, we're seeing tonight. Both are fucking jacked. Candido earned his Roddy Magoo nomination.
Yeah, he's not even swollen. He's just huge. Yeah.
Chris Candido is part of the Triple Threat stable, along with injured world champion Shane Douglas and Bam Bam Bigelow. Lance Storm replaced Bam Bam in the group for a cup of coffee, and during that time, Storm and Candido were tag champions. Candido bumped Lance out because apparently he was putting the schmooves on Tammy. I guarantee you he was perfectly cordial.
She must have loved that rat's tail.
Despite being at odds, they were still tag champs for over 6 months until RVD and Sabu knocked them off. So that leaves them to feud exclusively, and they have done over the summer, and that brings us here tonight. Hard Knocks' Chris Candido here is wearing an athletic wrestling headgear. It's because during the match with Sabu and Van Damme, he tore part of his ear off. He just needed some plastic surgery to reattach it. Obviously, it's healed by the time he's doing this, so you can see it. They rip it off, and obviously it's bollocks now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Tammy thought she looked much better here.
Mm. Only 2 years earlier, boys. That's scary. The fall was quick for that lady. She was gorgeous here.
It's like a year and a half earlier only.
No tea for her today. Back to the banging. I didn't feel bad for her at all. She was really hot.
Yeah, because like 97, she's still sunny. Yeah. You know, a very clean image. And then, you know, 2000 is very rough in WCW.
Give her a hug.
So this is like halfway between that, you know. Looking great.
You know, I think everybody here, Mr. Ortiz, thinks that I can do this better than you can.
Not everybody.
He is Mr. No Gimmicks Needed, Chris Candido!
Do you remember Deborah, when they needed to find her something to do, so here you do the ring introduction, and she just, it's very flippant, and it's like, here's D'Lo Brown.
You know the way they put her with Austin? Why did Austin let that happen?
I can only think that since she's his wife, she's like, oh man, I love Deborah. She's awesome. Let's get more Deborah. So yeah, put her on. It would be great. Isn't she great, everyone?
What can possibly go wrong type of thing?
Yeah. They did explore this option in California Dreams. If you remember when Jake's girlfriend wants to be in the band, but she couldn't sing, but he loved her so much, she was like, oh,
that's right, yeah.
Man, great voice, love it. And then they played her a tape back. And it's like, oh, who's this monstrosity?
Is that the hot, like, Mexican?
Yeah.
She was really hot.
Storm's heel.
Yes.
But Candido's heel.
No, his face.
He's in the triple threat with the heel world champion and heel Bigelow.
Oh, God, and that makes this match a mess. Because I thought, and I'm fairly sure at some point I actually wrote who's the heel and face here.
Storm wrestles like a heel. He does heel things. Like, he doesn't break clean in the corner, and like, he'd follow up his corner rushes with slaps to Candido's face and then removes his headgear. You must be heel.
Yeah, definitely.
The only way he could be face is if he just hates Chris Candido. Okay. And he's kind of turning to the dark side in order to one up him. Mm-hmm.
There's a guy in the crowd with a sign, and it says forecast storm in sunny. I thought that was quite interesting.
Oh,
but yeah. I'm also pretty sure he spelled fucking forecast wrong. I think he left out an E. Fucking gobshite. Somebody should have, if I was fucking security, I would have taken that sign off him.
Oh fuck, no crash mats in ECW, just bare concrete. It must be fucking awful landing on your knees. Candido has a perfect delayed suplex and then a New Jersey jam, as opposed to WWF's Brian Christopher's Tennessee jam, which is a top rope leg drop followed by a lovely scoop slam. Man, is that at this point I realise these guys are the perfect size for this ring. Thanks, Dave. It's a 16 by 16 foot ring, which is the same as WCW, as opposed to the WWF's massive 20 by 20 ring. So it's why when these guys go to the WWF, aka Land of the Giants, they look far less physically impressive. You know, like Mike Awesome, huge beast of a man. And obviously when he comes into WCW, pair him with Kevin Nash, the only dude 3 inches taller than him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy fuck, Candido takes a suplex to the concrete outside. And there's a sickening thud.
I can tell you who doesn't take a bump there. Lance. He pulls a Bret Hart, safe as say. He grabs the top rope and he's like, I'm not falling there, fuck that shit. But then he does jump over the top ropes, which is pretty impressive.
Storm follows up with a flying goat, aka a very safe top rope plancha. They trade big time moves until it's time to go home. Tammy gives Candido some freedom powder, but Storm knocks it into Candido's face.
Like a big face? It was this point here where I was like, who the fuck is face? Who's heel? What the hell's going on here?
There's a ref bump, a meh super kick, but Tammy rubs Storm's arse before pushing him off the top turnbuckle. The ref inadvertently breaks Tammy's top. I thought it was a great spot. The crowd erupt as she hopefully exposes her breasts, but eventually security cover her chest from behind. How's that going to help? Candido hits a top rope powerbomb, aka the blonde bombshell, and gets the win. Same layout to the last match. One takes control until the brawl outside. The other takes control. Outside interference and top rope finisher. I was just worried. Are regular moves gone? And you can only win by top rope super moves now.
This was another super move, by the way.
Holy shit. I would not have taken this move.
No.
No fucking way.
No. I thought despite all that, it was tremendously entertaining. Lance definitely showing more personality and an extremely solid, hard-hitting matchup. I thought it was quite funny that Tammy tries to cover up all the time and Candido keeps grabbing her hand to celebrate. And she's like, for fuck's sake.
Good man, he's just giving the fans what they really want.
Yeah.
He is a face. Although,
Candido's
that's kind of heelish to do that to a woman who doesn't want it. Not as high on it as the first match, but I thought overall it was still like a really good match. Candido completely gassed about halfway through, and the last maybe 5 minutes of the match were really sloppy, and I hated the ending with the powder and the who's face and the tits and blah. No, I loved the tits, but I hated that being a reason for a finish of the match. And I have, while the blonde bombshell is an incredible looking move, it's terrifying and I don't want to see it ever again. Overall, thumbs up.
And I thought it was around as good as the first match. I actually thought the face heel divide was pretty clear, actually, because at the start Candido was playing up to the crowd and doing the kind of Rick Steiner dog face gremlin thing,
which the fans loved, actually.
Yeah. And then of course there's obviously interference at the end, but the fans lapped it up. They wanted to see Candido win, so I thought there was a decent divide here. I have to say, Lance Storm, I really don't like the guy, but
he's a tremendous wrestler. Yeah,
he can wrestle,
yeah,
no doubt about it.
We should explain that, really. It's because his views on wrestling and what makes money in wrestling is very narrow, and I think wrong. It's like the difference between what wrestling is and what he thinks wrestling should be. Characters, storylines, promos make money and make pro wrestling what it is.
Right. If everything was to be the way Lance wanted it, you end up having Ring of Honor, which is a small niche company that has no room for growth ever. And that's fine. And people who love that can watch that and they can buy 12 DVDs a year and keep that company going and everyone's happy. Except for the wrestlers who get fuck all money. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's clear that Lance Storm thinks he is what wrestling is and everyone should be like him. And, I mean, well, Lance, why weren't you successful then? I mean, if you were money, you would have been top of the card.
That's an excellent point as well.
I'm sure he's top of the card in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
He'll hate on, like, say, Santino. Do you remember he did that stupid segment with the Charming the Cobra?
Oh,
he was like, that's the worst thing in wrestling. You've killed a business. And it was like, I bet you he sold 100,000 more pieces of merch than you ever did.
Yeah, like, to argue that things like that, when they're done on someone who's in the low card and is a comedy card, that only sells merch, and that's only good for the company in the long term. Now, if Randy Orton... the Viper's about to strike! I mean, that would be the end of the world. Maybe Santino could control Randy Orton because he is a snake.
Oh, come out of the basket with the lid on his head.
And just put his tongue out, you know?
That would kill the business, actually.
It would be worth it, though.
Yeah, you're right on that, Lance.
I would love to book it just to see Randy lose the plot in the middle. Stupid! I hate Randy Orton.
People don't want what he's selling, but... Yeah, I like seeing him wrestle in undercard
matches. A fantastic
wrestler. He's a really
good
wrestler. Yeah, like he had the best match on the last card, and he had a good match on this card as well. So
one of the smoothest
performances
I've ever
seen. Wearing a lovely red and white getup, Jay.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
It's time for a round of
match number three.
Ah, brilliant!
I love the first bit. Oh, that's nice.
What bar is the no longer dyed blonde rat-tailed Landstorm?
Right. He is wearing a lovely red and white getup, Jay. So I have two things here. A, he's a brunch. And B, he is a Kinder Bueno.
Love it.
And C, he is Colgate.
At the commentary booth, Styles throws to a parking lot video package. Oh man, you can see the call sheet on Styles' word-for-word script.
He's a really bad actor. He shouldn't ever read from a script. He should do everything off the top of his head.
I was like, oh, fucking hell, new Jack's here. He says he'll whoop Jack Victory in a weapons match tonight. New Jack is face, feuding with the Dudleys. Jack Victory is their crony. A schmoz breaks out between the wrestlers in their everyday gear. Thought it was very dangerous doing this so close to fans. Why don't they fucking join in?
Yeah.
How would you tell?
Who's who? God, yeah. I've written here that the Dudleys and other fat men beat up New Jack. Followed by, ha, I'm glad. I hate him. He's a scumbag.
Yep, so Jack Victory and the Dudleys damage New Jack, who sells an indiscernible tummy ache.
See, my
They didn't really do that much to him.
No. There's no reason to not have this match on tonight.
No.
If it's outside the ring in a promo package, death.
Yes, like a...
One
what's
punch
a club to the back of the shoulder?
Yeah.
So New Jack can't compete tonight. The match is off. Fuck yeah. A shame nobody told the crowd the match was cancelled, by the way. Next up, it's Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka. Tanaka and Awesome feuded in FMW Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling in the early 90s. Tanaka debuted in ECW 5 months ago and was quickly funneled into reigniting this feud tonight. Tanaka is the most unassuming non-confrontational face, big poofy blow-dried hair. He's 25 at the time. Mike Awesome has a mullet.
He's an ugly man.
FMW, Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling. Anytime I hear that, I immediately think of Mick Foley just coming to the Fed and one of the writers was saying, oh man, loved your matches in FMW. And Vince McMahon overhears it and says, I believe it's pronounced ECW.
Oh,
Oh my god, yes!
Going into the match, Styles says Tanaka's 2-0 against that 90s guy. Man, very conflicted feelings about this match. We completely disagree with sick chair shots. Because they cause concussions, commutatively get mental problems, speech problems, memory problems.
Kill your Parkinson's, child and wife.
Dementia, yes.
Yeah.
Repeated sick bumps means later in life you're walking around hobbling like Mick Foley. That's very sad. And then you're in ECW or on the indies and you're doing it for a pittance. But, you know, on the other flip side, these people choose to do this solely for our enjoyment and to get pop because of it. This is how they work. And also, like, I won't deny, there is a sick pleasure in seeing wrestlers do these death-defying sick bump stupid moves.
But not chair shots to the head.
There was one in particular on this show that I nearly had to turn her off for. It was disgusting.
I'd rather hard chair shot to the back than a fake chair shot to the head, a la what The Undertaker will do. You know, the
put the hand way miles up. Yeah. It is the Kane selling of chair shots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He puts his knee up.
But they do sound awesome. And they do look amazing. It's just...
And at the time, everyone knew, obviously, like, if a car crashes into your head, you're either going to die or have massive mental problems. But they didn't know about the build-up of little shots to the head, you know what I mean? And the long-term damage that they cause, you know?
But every time you smash someone over the head, you're going, oh, he scrambled his brain.
Yeah.
Know? So it's not like nobody knew. It's like what we know now, you know, that kind of thing. But, like, at least with this match in particular, it's synonymous with both wrestlers' careers. So for one night anyway, it's fucking totally worth it. I realise that makes me a huge hypocrite. I hate it knowing full well the implications. It's sick, it's nasty, you're an idiot for doing it. But yeah, they're fucking awesome.
Mm, thanks very much, though.
Pun mostly intended. The fucking size of Mike Awesome, especially against Tanaka, is, you know, smaller than the average person in ECW, but holy shit, Mike Awesome. A beast, towering length and girth.
He's the ideal size for a wrestler. If you had to model a professional wrestler, it's him.
I got like more Randy Orton / Cesaro. Yes. Tall, in great shape. So normal people go, holy shit, that guy's a beast. And he's also in good enough shape to go. You know what I mean?
But
and
so not, is awesome.
Well, yeah, that's true. I'd say that's true. For a wrestler, they'd want to be Randy Orton, basically. But Vince coming in, which guy's going to get the first push?
Yeah.
Dude with Mike Awesome's body. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he can go a lot more than Orton can as well.
He's better at moves than Orton, but Orton's a better worker. You know what I mean? In terms of getting the fans, telling the story, making the other person look good. Mike Awesome doesn't do that. He makes himself look good by hurting people.
Anyway, let's go through it. Mike overpowers Tanaka and hits his taker dive over the top rope in under 2 minutes into the match.
Look, I made the exact same though. I was like, didn't I say this the last 2 matches he's done? Fuck's sake, Mike, you don't learn at all. Even though we've gone back in time from WCW.
Yeah, I will not deny this guy's power or agility. But when it's Awesome's turn to bump, like, he almost necks himself on a scoop slam.
Yeah. So,
loved Tanaka's hilarious long jog to deliver a head chair shot. He's
like, it was great. And it was like so meh. Yeah. But it was a good fucking spot. I just think of his arms and his chest. They're just covered in nasty scars from early 90s wrestling in FMW with barbed wire and...
Yeah, I think it looks fucking awesome.
It looks cool, but it's also gross.
Do not fuck with this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Jewel of the Fates shit chair battle.
Jay, there was something not quite right about that chair battle. I can't quite put my finger on it.
I get the feeling that they knew where they were going to strike. Because it's left, right, left and right.
And slowly, very slowly.
the Star Wars spot, redeemed by a perfectly safe top rope springboard clothesline out into the crowd. He gets great height on it. Well impressive. Then, oh my god. Three indie cunt stiff chair shots, but Tanaka no sells and the crowd go mental. Then we get a top rope sick chair shot. Mike sets up a table outside, but Tanaka counters the awesome bomb and delivers his own through the table. So it was really fucking impressive, and the fans flip out.
He lands on his neck, and Shane Douglas just kind of goes, he's like, absolutely terrifying. The fans loved it.
And fair play to Awesome. He's willing to take the horrible bumps, as well as dishing them out.
That's just crazy. I just wouldn't. Oh, in terms of ratio of dishing to taking.
it's like 10 to 1 here.
This was the worst bump of the night.
Oh, scary.
Was it the worst bump because he didn't bump correctly, though?
I think it was a mixture. Like, Tanaka was awesome to be able to do that, but he didn't have
enough to do it properly.
You
Steve.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah.
So you know. I don't think Awesome could have been any safer than he was. He, like, Tanaka couldn't throw him high enough, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh, scary, man.
Tanaka followed it up.
Oh, by the way, he only got a 2 count for doing this. Jesus Christ.
I hate this when you have an amazing spot. Just finish it there.
ROH are the worst for it.
Mm. Tanaka follows it up with an elbow, and then a roaring elbow, and then a top rope tornado DDT onto two chairs, and that secures the three.
I thought this match was fucking brilliant. One of the best matches, I think, I've watched for OSW Review. Yeah, it was a complete spot fest. But it was a complete spot fest.
Yeah.
So I can see why Awesome gets the love he does from the internet. He's got so many fucking fans. We gave him a hard time on the WCW episodes, but this seems to be him at his peak. This is what he's capable of. Again, yeah, okay, not much storyline going on, but it's just two lads kicking the fucking shit out of each other and doing it well. So, huge thumbs up.
Fucking incredible. I hate being a hypocrite giving out about career-shortening spots and chair shots to the head, but I was going, holy fuck! So many times in this match.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. Obviously, Tanaka by far took the lion's share of the abuse. Awesome only really bumped at the end, but it was an awesome bump. No, pun intended there. And that's what is remembered, so it's great. Obviously, if you had a killer promo or great, you know, electric finishers, you get the same response from the crowd.
Yeah.
But that's not happening, so thank you for putting your bodies on the line for our enjoyment.
Yes. Mm.
Go out of your way to see this match.
Yes.
Yep. I'm not going to add anything, you just got spot on. It was brilliant.
These lads would continue to feud on and off, and even over the world title in Anarchy Rules 99.
It's like Sheamus and Daniel.
Obviously enough, Awesome left abruptly in 2000 to WCW, and Tanaka was like, after, a couple of months after that, I was like, yeah, alright, and he just went back to Japan.
Oh, he's been kicking ass for the last couple of years.
He's still going today.
New Japan, yeah. He was, the 0-1 championship, which is actually, the actual AWA title. That, fucking Bockwinkle fucking
Rollerball Rocco. And
yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. How is he still going?
Yeah.
Still walking. He wouldn't take crazy chair shots at the head, but the rest of it's still taking sick bumps.
He's Japanese.
He's gonna be like,
oh, very good, very good.
See, that's Palace number one. Yokozuna number one. I watched it again. It's so racist. It's unbelievable. They have with the big fucking cameras as well. Should have got them at lunchtime. Could have, you know, get the bowls of rice. It'd be perfect. And with that, it's time for our ad break questionarium.
Really?
Yeah, there's only 3 matches left.
Oh, okay.
Is that alright?
No, oh, listen, that's perfect.
Will you take it?
Sir, what are there two doing? Alright, how are you enjoying your stay here in the US?
Las Vegas number one.
Caesar's
Hey, Yokozuna!
Yokozuna, number one!
Unbelievable!
Hi, it's Matt.
And Pat.
We're Two Best Friends Play.
And it's time for the ad break questionarium.
Today's question will have you scratching your head until it's raw and bloody. So pay attention. What bar is Masato Tanaka?
Our Asian bra is rocking black trunks with a red and yellow flame. Oh, fuck. Fuck it all.
Okay.
Fuck everything.
He's gonna leave this in, too.
Oh, shit. You serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, crap. Our Asian bra is rocking black trunks with red and yellow flames. Answer after the break.
Come on, punch it.
Think he's ready?
I think he'll crack this guy off.
Okay, guys, keep them clean. It's gotta be a ring-a-ding-dong dandy. Nice. Ooh, that's gotta hurt. What a move. He's airborne. Humpty's famous four-egg omelets. Choose from seven feature combinations. They're excellent.
You know, Humpty, maybe we should be a tag team.
You're out of here.
So the ad break questionarium is what bar is Masato Tanaka?
Now, Tanaka is wearing spunky little hot pants with red and yellow flames. He is...
a Mars bar. You know, safe choice, same general color scheme. You know, don't want to rock the boat on the first one. He is Meiji Hello Panda Fun-Filled Biscuit Treats. I assume he also has a creamy center in the middle. And finally, Masato Tanaka is a limited edition Hunger Games Catching Fire chocolate bar. Now, go see Catching Fire, out now for Blu-ray, DVD, and video on demand.
Better luck next time, and thanks for playing.
See you later, fuckers!
Tonight's the night, Bam Bam. Tonight's the night. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, brother. In a short while, you're gonna tap to the FTW World Heavyweight Champion, the only champion on pay-per-view that means anything in this business. Not Austin, not Goldberg, and especially that punk, Mike Tyson. Three letters, one man named Taz.
Taz cuts a dark room promo on Bam Bam. He's going for the towel head look.
It's a pretty cool towel.
That's a new race we're getting after. He says that the FTW title is the best. Austin, Goldberg, and Tyson are nothing compared to him. He basically punks them all out. Then he says to Bam Bam that he's going to get his win back. And he's going to put him through the floor. And that's it. It was a decent promo. It wasn't great. You know, the name drops are not needed. You know what I mean? He should have just talked about how he's going to kill Bam Bam because he's a badass.
But the tail is cool.
I love the look. Way better than when Kane did it anyway. With his fucking...
his hand tail, like.
What would you even call that flannel haircut?
Oh, right.
It's so bad.
He was pretending to be bald. Why would you do that?
But who goes bald in a straight line? It doesn't make any sense.
The raggedy towel look, it's like he wishes he could cut a hair over face promo, but he doesn't have, he has a short hair, so he can't. Yeah, so that'll substitute just fine. Beat me if you can, survive if I let you. Awesome catchphrase.
It's good, isn't it?
Douglas takes umbrage with Taz's FTW belt. We'll get to that later. The heel Dudleys shout, pimping their match with Dreamer, Sandman, and Spike. Big dirty meh. Pre-recorded vignette with the ECW tag champions RVD and Sabu and their manager Fonzie. Steve, your favourite? Dissension.
Imagine.
RVD cockily mugs for the camera and cuts a fun, self-aggrandizing promo as the others try reel him back in. Fonzie calls their opponents Japanese losers. His promo's almost as bad as him blowing that fucking whistle.
Rob Van Dam and you, my partner, Sabu, defend my world tag team belts. Hey, these belts are recognized worldwide, brother. Oh, the contenders tonight come all the way from Japan. We got the two top guys from Japan. Akushi!
Bless you. They're gonna be losers! That's what we're gonna call you! From now on, you are losers! Japanese losers!
RVD says these belts are recognized worldwide, yet they're the fucking classic WWE IC and Winged Eagle belts.
That's why they're recognized.
By the way, while he does mention WWE and WCW, he doesn't bury it to get himself over in a way that'll never make money. You know, like Shane Douglas, like, oh, Triple H, I'd fucking kill you. But it's like, you're never going to, you'll never have a chance, shut up. He's
even
just like,
even if you do, you'll job clean in 5 minutes.
Yeah, whereas RVD is just like, he just mentioned him. He's like, yeah, I'm good enough to be there. I was like, oh, it's a good gimmick, good gimmick. Perfect for the time, like.
Yeah, after a lifetime of watching WWF and WCW, I love hearing casual swearing in ECW. RVD, he's not the whole effing show or the whole damn show.
Rob Van Dam is the whole fucking show.
From FMW, it's Team Ninja. It's Hayabusa and Jinsei Shinsaki, aka WWF's New Generation's Hakushi, aka I had a pay-per-view match with Bret Hart once. I fucking love the body paint of Japanese writing on Shinsaki, and from far away, it looks like prison bars. So it's just all of it great.
How long would that take? Every fucking day
God.
He turns up for a house show.
Unless you had loads of stamps and you go...
Which would be handy.
Could you have like a tattoo reverse image and just kind of spray it on maybe?
Oh, that's probably what it does actually, yeah.
You have like, to, wouldn't you?
What are they called?
Stencil.
Stencil. Thank you.
You could ask Joe about that cock on his face. Probably get some dude's lad put ink on it.
He just slaps his Mickey off his face.
It's a cock print. They're facing ECW tag champions Sabu and RVD. Those guys having beaten Storm and Candido in June to get them. And they've also got the same gimmick of a great tag team, but Dissension, they don't get on.
And lads, first of all, where the fuck are the Eliminators? So Saturn went to WCW, is that the problem?
It was mentioned, I think, just before the main event that the Dudleys absolutely destroyed them and they put Saturn out in kayfabe, but, you know, he's gone to WCW. Like,
Cronus.
He's awful.
He has to wait till New Jack is finished so he can tag with him.
Rumour has it that we pretty much watched his greatest moment
ever.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And how did he win the tag titles? What did he use? Some kind of move? Use.
Well, sorry, what were we talking about?
Oh, Joey Styles. Total Eliminate.
Oh, sorry.
Total Eliminate! They're joined by Fonzie and his fucking whistle. You're ruining this goddamn match, blowing it every few seconds.
Do you know what else he fucking ruined? Pantera. Fucking walk. Bellend coming out blowing his whistle.
Fonzie, wrong type of heat. Like, hey, you remember Mr. Perfect had his coach and he's blown his whistle? I just turn off the match.
By the way,
it's only when you hear RVD come out to walk that you realize how generic his, even though it's a good Fed song, when you compare it to this, it's a pile of shite.
RVD is also the TV champion, having taken it from Bam Bam in April 4 months ago. The champs bicker about who's starting, and it'll be RVD and Ryu Hayabusa. RVD,
who looks cool, by the way. He looks like a cyber ninja.
Hayabusa, he'd previously feuded with Sabu in Japan, and I think looks-wise, they're incredibly similar. Like, apart from the mask, obviously, he's got the white sash, the shiny parachute pants tucked into his white boots, scars laid all over his body. So, I think, and their move set is quite similar as well. So, it's like the Japanese counterpart to RVD and Sabu. It's like, Haya Sabusa.
Nice.
What I thought was very good, which was much better than last time with Barely Legal, where it's just spot with RVD, he'll stop after a spot and get his character and the storyline of Tag Dissension over. Great, perfect. Shinzaki does the crane rope walk, i.e. old school, but twice the walking length, actually, you know, covering half of the ring.
Awesome.
Really impressive, and gets a rightful standing ovation. We also see intelligent rest spots from Sabu, wearing down the calf and leg to ground Hayabusa. I just wish Hayabusa didn't get up straight away and do a spin kick right afterwards. Oh, fuck's sake. It's a hardcore tornado tag, as in all of ECW. No punishment for double teaming or using weapons. So it doesn't make much sense why the wrestlers would only make use of that sometimes. Why wouldn't you get in there and batter the guys? Isn't it? You know?
Yeah. No? Don't know. Don't know.
Because the booking told me not to.
Yeah, bring a gun to the ring. Fucking end the match.
Oh shit, New Jack's coming in world champion. Fonzie throws a chair to Sabu, who's on the turnbuckle. It's a little shard. And he drops it, obviously. He should have practiced with the Sandman. But Sabu gets his own as RVD lifts Shinzaki up in a bow and arrow, leaving him prime for Sabu to drive the chair into his torso. That's a fucking awesome tag team manoeuvre.
Yeah, it was probably my favourite spot of the match, actually.
Sabu and Fonzie stupidly don't stop Hayabusa from breaking up the fall. It's like, Fonzie, you're doing nothing, you're just looking. And Sabu, you're doing nothing, just looking. And this lad comes in and breaks in the fall. Fucking stupid.
A possible side effect of kind of the clusterfuck tornado tag matches that are in ECW, kind of people just lose the run of themselves and forget. You know, an element of psychology should be present without doubt.
This will be the only good thing I'll say about Fonzie in this entire show. He covers for Hayabusa after he was late getting in for the pin. Great fucking work, Fonzie. He actually knew what was going on. Like,
holy shit, Sabu hits a top rope Hurricane Rana on Shinzaki as RVD, off camera, leaps from the opposing turnbuckle and changes direction mid-air to hit the splash. I flipped out. Holy shit, because like, he flies in into the screen.
Cool.
Amazing. Japs respond with a Pele, sorry, the Heskey. And a Powerbomb 450 splash combination, aka Stardust Express combo. Nimble Ref climbs the ropes to give the action some space and jumps from the second rope to deliver a two count. Both teams have double moves, but RVD's and Sabu's are more impressive and inventive, I thought. Like, they got a Boston Crab turnover into a leg drop.
Oh, that was awesome.
And they turn him back over. It was very cool. Hayabusa is straddled on the top rope as Fonzie holds a chair in front of him and RVD hits a Van Terminator. Great. That was so cool. Hayabusa gets up to hit a move on them because it's their turn now. No selling.
Did you see the spot where Sabu went to pick up a table and got a splinter and started going, just dropped the entire match to like look at his hand.
This is your point. Shit table. Sabu cuts himself picking one up and Shinzaki and RVD flatten it by just leaning on it.
Oh, so sad. The fans haven't done it. Boo! This is so stupid.
That was really, really impressive, but no selling. It's just an array of extremely impressive singles and double team moves. Ah, fuck it though. Van Daminator and a pair of leg drops to the opponents through two tables. Sabu shoves RVD out of the way to make the cover and get the pin. As awesome touch to an awesome match. It got over RVD and Sabu's story, even if they are having trouble with RVD's showboating selfishness. They're an excellent tag team and overcome formidable opponents. For me, the only negatives, obviously enough, were the lack of selling and the tag rules don't make any sense, and obviously Fonzie's whistle. Doesn't stop this match being amazing and brilliant, and go out and see it.
I would disagree with that.
Whoa.
I did not enjoy this match.
Whoa.
Yeah.
For the first time ever, we have a Jay and Steve agreement about a match versus the other Steve.
They won.
This doesn't happen often.
Mm.
But you knew I'd love this match.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I assumed you'd love this.
No.
As I did.
I thought there were some amazing moves, like there was the 450 splash, followed by the rolling thunder and the leg drop, then the camel clutch and the splash. But there were lots of botches, especially between RVD and Kayabusa. The two of them didn't know how to work with each other very well. It's just a mess. Like,
I agree with you that it's a mess and it's a bunch of moves, but it's fucking awesome. Yeah.
Well, we had one awesome match and then another awesome match. I have written here, this match is fucking amazing. Possibly the best I've seen on OSW. I said that about the previous match.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just fucking, this, whatever it was, 45 minutes of pay-per-view action is some of the best I've ever seen. It's fucking brilliant stuff. RVD and Sabu, I was thinking, two lads put together. You know, I don't like that. I like tag teams to be tag teams. These are two lads put together and they work really well. A lot of tag team offense. Possibly the one thing I didn't like was at the end, huge move to finish the match. But because the crowd aren't sure if this is going to be the pin, there's not that climax. You know, one, two, three, you know, to count the fall. Also didn't help that Shinzaki kind of looked like he was going to kick out. So there was just a bit of an anticlimax at the end. Overall, though, fucking amazing.
Cool. The tag team of RVD and Sabu would go on to feud with the Dudleys and Triple Threat until Sabu was suspended the next year and Van Damme focused on his TV title, a championship which he'd hold for a record 700 days until vacating it in March 2000 due to injury. Curiously enough, he'd never win the ECW world title until WWE owned it. By the end, RVD would no-show ECW events as he was owed in the region of $150,000.
I don't blame him. Loyalty should only go so far, and the second you are being ripped off, fuck you, Paul.
You know who wouldn't have no-showed the events, though? Cronus.
They were trying to get him to go away. He keeps barging in.
Hit the terrible chick move that I got abused for, calling it. Didn't you know it was a great move? Hold on. The move is by far known as a woman's, yes, WWF move than one dude in Japanese who spent a fucking cup of coffee in WCW.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The most hardcore fans know it. Okay, that's fine.
Would it be like if we reviewed TNA and when Styles does a Styles Clash, we call it, the McCool's
the face breaker! The face break! Mrs. Taker breaker! Ridiculous.
Or
let's do that.
We did start calling the kill switch the candy wrapper, though, didn't we?
That's right.
Next up is an ECW death match to an absolute finish. Falls count anywhere in the building. It's Bam Bam Bigelow versus Taz. And we get a Paulie voiceover video chronicling the feud. Tom Mutchley.
March 1st, the Living Dangerously pay-per-view. Bam Bam Bigelow puts Taz through the ring en route to a shocking victory over the human suplex machine in Bigelow's hometown of Asbury Park, New Jersey. But Taz continued to dog the heavyweight champion of the world, even proclaiming himself the uncrowned champion, to the point where he actually started to come to the ring with his own title belt.
The FTW belt. Can we just talk about this? Because I don't really get this, right?
Ah, exactly. Heyman did a bad job. That.
Fucking Segway. Yeah, what the fuck is this belt all about?
Yes, Polly, almost extraneous information. Bit difficult to follow. I actually had to rewind it.
I had to watch this 3 times and I still don't get it.
Aha, okay. So, I'll tell you, Steve. Don't worry about that.
It's the man with all the facts.
The man who loves the black.
As I mentioned earlier, the triple threat stable consisted of Shane Douglas, Bam Bam, and Chris Candido. Bam Bam beat Taz for the TV title in March, and that was a huge deal because Taz was extremely well protected and was booked and believed to be a badass. So, at the show, Taz locked in the Taz mission, jumped on his back, but Bam Bam crashed the two through the ring mat. That's at Bam Bam's hometown in Asbury Park. I love that spot.
I thought that looked terrible, by the way.
Did you?
It's a cool fucking spot. I just wish that they had done a move. You know what I mean? A man falling would never break the ring because he bumps hundreds of times in every match. Whereas the Big Show, Brock, a superplex off the top rope, fine.
Anyway, Taz set his sights on Douglas's world title but didn't receive a title shot. In retaliation, he injured Douglas's arm and proclaimed himself the uncrowned champion, creating the FTW Championship, which means fuck the world, not for the win, internet teens.
That makes perfect sense. Why couldn't he have explained that in the video?
The internet teens?
No, the what you just said. That makes perfect sense.
So it's kind of like the Million Dollar Man. He never got the WWF title, so he created the Million Dollar Belt.
It's a very heel thing to do.
Create a belt for
yourself? Create a belt, yeah.
The heel champion is refusing to face him. Yeah, it still is heelish.
Yeah, so, like, what if Austin never won the WWF belt but just came out with the Smoking Skull belt and said, I am the champion? Yeah, okay, that's very heelish. Yeah, yeah.
So Taz is facing Douglas's mate, Bam Bam, tonight to avenge his loss and hopefully get a world title shot down the line. Because in this promo, they start talking about RVD, Lance Storm, and who's in the group and who leaves the group and joins the group again. And there was the fucking stupidest, hey, it's like Bam Bam, who used to be in the heel group, let's tag and take on the heel group. And Taz goes in and gets battered, obviously. It's like, you stupid Mark. Anyway, so it was a bit all over the place, this promo.
The promo package itself might not have been clear, but this feud looks fucking great. Really heated.
Yeah, there hasn't really been anyone like Taz since, you know what I mean? Like, just that little fucking killer who people are terrified of.
So it's the Taz killer, the beast from the east, Bam Bam Bigelow, versus the one-man crime spree, the human suplex machine, or as Vince McMahon would call him, Suplex King, all of that stuff.
Taz was their man, you know? And they'd built Taz up to be this, sawed-off monster, suplex king and all that kind of stuff.
The unrecognized FTW World Heavyweight Champion. Unrecognized as it's not an official ECW belt, although Taz defends it as such, and the ref, shows Bam Bam and holds it up. They work storylines around it. He should at least be the undefined FTW champ. Douglas says he's going to be relatively impartial to call the match as opposed to, a heel character who just bury him constantly. What do you think of Douglas on commentary, actually?
I didn't think he was that bad. No glaring things that are like, oh, I fucking hate you on this, Douglas. I don't have really much bad to say about Douglas on this show.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. Anyone who doesn't say he has never looked better is good in my book.
Actually, there's nothing bad that he said. He didn't butt in with nothing to say, as, Tommy Dreamer did. Good job.
Or The King, or JBO.
Actually, there was some...
We're fried on fire!
Sorry, I fucking hate JBO.
It's weird, when he came in first, he was great, he was a breath of fresh air, and then all of a sudden he went from, being good to not giving a shit and just there to make himself have a laugh. That's not good for a product. Yeah. He's not as bad as Taz on commentary, though. What does he think of Bam Bam coming out to Welcome to the Jungle? That's a bit shit, really, isn't it?
It just doesn't suit him.
It doesn't suit him at all. He should be coming out to fucking Slayer or something.
His theme from WWF was really good for him. I thought it suited his character.
I can't remember.
It was like, bam, bam, dum.
Bigaloo.
Kick off. Taz no-sells a powerbomb and tells Bigelow to fuck off.
2 seconds into the match and he's no... Although there is no better time to no-sell a move.
A, that you're spot on. And B, it looked great.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, it's a pop.
Yeah.
No-selling. It's that judo background, according to Styles.
You mean the one where they don't have any strikes?
Obviously enough, crowd brawls are only really fun for the crowd in attendance. And this is a much bigger crowd, so much more of the crowd don't get to see it. And you don't have a large Titantron. So, yeah, so like 50 people can see it at the time.
I'm thinking after this powerbomb, Taz jumps up. I'm thinking, oh, can't wait for this real heated, good, solid wrestling match. No, they fucking Triple H it immediately, just straight outside the ring. Like WrestleMania 27, his match against Taker, where immediately, just straight outside the ring. Shortcut, shortcut, shortcut. And then, of course, WrestleMania 28, they had the cage. They still left
that
the
was,
ring.
That was a great
match,
though.
Cage. But, yeah, I have no time for this shortcut bullshit. Very disappointing.
Hmm. Taz shows off some power moves, and then they brawl into the crowd. Styles gets over Taz's tenacity and his ability to overcome the 100-pound weight disadvantage. That was a good storyline. Bam Bam takes a suplex to the concrete shit and the lads just slip around for the next 20 minutes. Dive in the ring for a minute and you get 2 spots and then back out again. Taz gets whipped into a table and then T-bones the Beast from the East on the same table as a receipt. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Duck back out. Out on the ramp, Bam Bam looks to press Taz into the crowd, but Taz turns it into a DDT through the ramp. I flipped out. I couldn't believe it.
But again, Steve's point holds up. That shouldn't have been enough to break the ramp. Still look good, though.
Yeah. So this echoes their Taz Mission ring-breaking spot at the Asbury Park show before. The crowd flip as Bam Bam emerges first, and then Taz, jumping on his back, and applies the Taz Mission.
You know, like the Vince spot, I think it's at like WrestleMania 18 or something, when he's thrown outside of the ring and he's pissing blood and then he gets up slowly and, like, you know, the camera is just fucking waiting on him. I'd love him to see that, like, Taz just, you know, kind of like get up out of the hole and he's pissing blood and I was like, oh my fucking god! But no, they didn't do it.
That would have been cool if he rolled up and you saw his eyes or something.
Or if the camera was looking at the hole and Taz just rises up slowly out of it or something.
Like Dracula.
These are company killing spots. Yeah, and so Taz locks in the Taz Mission and that's enough. He taps out and Taz wins the match. I thought it was a very cool match, great finish, but it's quite misleading calling it a death match. It's just a false count anywhere brawl. You say death match, you think of barbed wire instead of ropes, explosives, nasty blood and gore. But this is, you know, your average Thursday night in Limerick.
It can.
Not convinced about Bam Bam's wrestling ability because the match was booked. It was built around hiding someone who can't wrestle. Like, very little time spent in the ring. And when it was in the ring, it's big move, rest, you know. But excellently executed. Different type of brawl, hugely memorable big finish. Puts over the storyline and progresses the storyline with Taz and Douglas.
Yeah, which is probably the biggest point for me is that I don't like the real Taz, but I think the character of Taz is fucking money. And I hate Shane Douglas in real life and in kayfabe. But I was shocked to find myself actually wanting to watch this match. Which, job done for me.
Absolutely, 100%. Bam Bam was fed to Taz to build up the match with Douglas. So, job done.
Yeah.
The match was a shitty brawl. It was almost a WWE match in the way that they structured it.
Absolutely.
The one thing that I would be annoyed at if I was in the crowd, where's me fucking seat gone? You've kicked it halfway down the fucking the bleachers, like... Lads, it's just bad ergonomics, I'm sorry. It's not acceptable.
Post-match, Taz calls out Douglas, who lamented the loss by going, "No! Bam Bam was reaching for the ropes!" And
which is kind of true in a way.
From the outside?
Yeah, I don't know. Does that count? I just don't get it.
And he smashes a TV monitor in disgust. That's coming out of your paycheck. He and Francine leave post-match, leaving Styles to call the main event solo.
By the way, I like Styles selling when Douglas has gone mad. He's just kind of like, oh, shit, I'm going to move away from him.
Yeah, he was like actually terrified of him. He's like, okay, you know, I'm just a skinny bloke who talks and this fella's a fucking wrestler. Like, I like that about wrestling. Mm. It's real once you're watching the TV show, everything's real.
The booking of ECW in general, it's quite solid.
Yeah,
progressive.
Very solid, very solid.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Taz or VD and co would recount ECW as their favourite time creatively, as they were let loose and had some creative control over their character with the aim to get them the most over. And then look at TNA and they obviously give them some degree of creative control. And why the fuck isn't that working?
Because you don't have Paul Heyman pulling all the strings. Yeah.
Do you remember Jeff Hardy with his metal mask?
Willow is coming! Have you seen this, Steve? Can you play for Steve now, please?
Willow the Wisp?
Oh my god.
When the past reminds you of how good you were, the future awaits your fate. While the present eats away at your shallow core, some call the soul.
Willow is coming! Wow!
Fucking state it's, of your gimmick,
it's
mate.
It's Beetle, Jeff. You know, it's ridiculous.
Where are you, Willow? Here!
It's your main event. It's a Dudleyville street fight. Accompanied by Joel Gertner and Sign Guy Dudley, it's Bubba, D-Von and Big Dick Dudley versus Tommy Dreamer, the Sandman and LSD Little Spike Dudley. We'll get a quick promo video about it. Good stuff.
I actually think that Joey actually does a really good job throwing to this package, and he's basically like, I am not going to cover for it. I fucking hate the Dudleys. They're scumbags. What they did is wrong, and they should pay very dearly for it. I was like, ah, good job, Joey.
Did you like the whale?
Yes, I thought it was really effective.
It actually was good. Because I don't like Tommy Dreamer at all, and I was like, yeah, I'm kind of cheering for Tommy a bit here. Yeah.
The Dudleys are put over in a huge way, as well as the 3D itself. Yeah.
So yes. Spike Dudley joined ECW in late 96, when the Dudleys were still face. But D-Von convinced Bubba and Big Dick to hoof most of them out and turn heel whilst battering the Sandman. Spike refused to follow suit. Add Tommy to the mix when the Dudleys hit Tommy's girl Beulah with a 3D, kayfabe breaking her neck. But who's the other guy? No, that's everyone. Ha ha! Final match of the night. Ah! Still 35 minutes left. We gotta kill some time. Bubba pulls a Douglas and calls out WWF, WCW, and the fans themselves. I've seen ECW shows where Bubba almost incites a riot.
Oh, yeah.
And he's awesome.
We got a mom in the front row who taught her daughter how to suck dick.
And we've seen him at TNA house shows as both heel and face. And he gets the biggest pop of the night. You know, just loudest his reaction.
The best wrestler I've ever seen in person at working a crowd.
But this promo was not that.
No.
Tonight was, I guess you're just upset I slept with your mother. Fucking hell.
Have you talked about Gertner's awesome, awesome, awesome promo though?
It's coming up.
Oh, Gertner's not first, is he not?
No.
Why have you got a face on you like that?
The cheap heat with the blow-up doll?
I actually liked it.
Is it hot in here, or is it just me? Well, well, well. Dayton, Ohio. Amazing where people can live these days. It is I, the man your mother warned you about, the man that makes your panties moist, and the only man that matters, hotter than a heat wave and harder than Chinese algebra, the quintessential stud muffin myself. Joel, I always leave them sore, yet they keep coming back for more. Gertner.
And he opens up by saying, is it hot in here, or is it just me?
And see, he announces the Dudleys, the Extreme Ref manager, Beulah McGillis Luddy. She was a doll. It was awesome.
Can't believe I'm here.
Makes a gay joke about Sign Guy, which everyone sandbagged.
Sign Guy?
Was terrible.
Sign Guy? That's good, Jay.
That's the level here.
Jay, will you splice in a few of these? You know the ones where...
These phantom good lines.
You know the one, the real kind of lowbrow ones, you know?
He is the man that helped drive Beulah's head into the canvas with such impact she didn't know whether to urinate, defecate, or ejaculate. Bubba!
Ed Gertner was magic. It was like caramel coming out of his mouth.
Sweetie.
And he's spitting back into the nest. Like. All of the marks. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Waiting for a bit of it.
You didn't like it.
It might be the type of thing that the more you see it, you kind of get in on the joke and you're waiting for it and all that stuff.
Jay's,
you know,
not in on it. He doesn't get it.
That must be it. He must be awesome. Big Dick. He is jacked. He must be useless to not get a job. Or he's a try it in WWE. Earlier tonight, the Dudleys jumped New Jack, injuring him, cancelling his match with Jack Victory, and ensuring Dreamer and Co. don't have any backup. So the faces enter. I won't deny they have some nice beer spots. Spike Dudley does the carny forehead beer can smash, and he gets dazed.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was very good. Mm. Sandman does his usual routine, and Superface Tommy Dreamer pours some of his beer into a cup and gives it to a fan.
That was great. That was really cool.
Steve, doesn't Bubba owe you a beer?
He owes me a beer, and I didn't begrudge him the beer.
We actually clapped afterwards. It was cool, wasn't it?
So we were at a show in Manchester, front row, up at the guardrail. Bubba comes round. Work in the crowd like he always does.
Like a boss.
Like a boss.
Didn't he give like a chunk of table to a kid and
all
that
shit? He did as well, which is really nice. He was face at the time. So he came along. I had a beer. He took the beer, drank it. And great. Thanks very much. So we were all like, hey, this could work. I like it. So then another TNA house show about a year later. And we were pretty pissed, in fairness. We were drinking a lot. Really pissed. So I went to the Jacks, and he was standing at the bleachers waiting to make a run in, and I kind of stumbled up. Hey, Bubba, what? Do you remember we had a beer in Manchester last year? Beer, remember? Just get out of here, will you? Get out of here. Hey, go on, get out of here. I just kind of stumbled away. I thought we were friends. So I don't like him as much as I used to.
Was he heel at the time, though?
He was.
Ah, you see,
oh, fuck off.
Keeping the character alive, Steve. Character.
Concessions over there. Mine's a Heineken.
Sorry, my laugh was at this same show when we were quite drunk and Jeff Hardy came out. This was just after he'd signed the TNA from his drug problems. And as you had said, we were at the front row at the guardrail. And during Jeff's intro, you decided to get like on your hunkers and grab the rail and stick your face through the bars and go, Jeff, look familiar. Marked out. Beauty. Absolute beauty.
Dudley entrance to match bell is 19 minutes.
Wow.
I thought it was 15. That was just a guess.
Devon and Tommy kick off with a fish out of water spot. That's the counter, counter, ooh, standoff. Punctuated by a successful Aloha Earn. Damn this blood feud.
I told you, lads. It fucking worked. It's
why are you the
physics.
Future?
Physics.
Oh, I just love these blood feuds with their counter, counter wrestling spots. But thank you, though, because after this, it quickly turns into a garbage brawl.
Yeah.
You know, Sign Guy has tons of signs. It was like the real Sunday Night Heat because on the same night Sunday Night Heat was on, just started, you know. Sign Guy has a sign that says, "What about my Stein? Stolen gimmick victim," on it. And then immediately a fan puts up a sign saying, "I hate signs."
Deadly.
Very good.
Oh, perfect. They pair off and brawl around the arena.
Devon Dreamer kick off, and I was kind of shocked at how fast both guys wrestle. Big Dick. Sandman and Big Dick Dudley go toe-to-toe. Fans chant, "Fuck him up, Sandman." Both guys who cannot wrestle instantly take shortcuts and brawl to outside. And then Dreamer and Devon decide to have a little brawl too. Spike then goes one-on-one with Bubba, gets battered for a while. All three heels take turn getting the heat on him. Spike hits a nice Hurricane Rana and a Bulldog for a two.
In ring, Sandman tries a Hurricane Rana to Bubba. And
oh, he pulls a breath, and as he's falling back, he hooks the rope and nearly necks himself because he does it, but it's actually a safe enough landing. He's right. So bad. He cannot wrestle. He can't do moves.
Frankensander.
Frankensander. Mm. Is that what it's called?
That's what Joey called it.
Jesus Christ.
Hold on. The fucking move. Fair play to him for trying it, and in fairness, it was better than Sin Cara could do.
I would disagree.
I shall also disagree. Not great placement just after the far superior brawling Taz Bam Bam match, I felt. I would have scheduled this earlier in the card and just say, oh, the Dudleys want the match as soon as possible to make sure New Jack won't be healed by match time.
Yeah. Spike does a really huge splash off a ladder to the Dudley to the outsides.
Is that probably the biggest spot of the night?
Yeah, probably. Fans popped for it.
I thought Spike was definitely the most over in this match.
He was. I actually like Spike. You know, obviously you wouldn't be putting belts on him or anything like that, but the fans really want to cheer for him, and you know,
yeah, very sympathetic.
Good to cheer on and, you know, get a pop for taking out four or five lads when they all line up to catch him. Like, Sandman hits a senton flop, and then Big Dick throws him outside. All three heels team up on Tommy. And Bubba hits another senton splash. And then Spike comes back and hits a bulldog onto the ladder.
This turns into a right house show main event as Jeff Jones, the sellout referee, mocks Tommy Dreamer by pile-driving the Beulah blow-up doll and then gets one for his troubles. You loved it, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
I actually like that spot.
Oh, you fucking marks. Yeah. Real house show spot. Bald face ref Jim Molyneux gets in on the action as himself and the faces do four Tree of Woe drop kicks with chairs, aka four Van Sir Connors.
I don't understand the Tree of Woe spot. I never have.
Just unhook your foot and fucking
it's
fall
so
over.
Easy, yeah. Because they all fall over and they get hit, so just fall over before.
What's worse,
you get
that
hit?
Or the Andre?
Oh, the Andre way Rope worse. Spot.
It's bad,
way
isn't
worse.
It? Bubba Ray hits my most hated move of the night. The worst chair shot I've seen in a long time.
Botched powerbomb by Big Dick Dudley.
Oh, yeah.
Onto Spike, so he's obviously supposed to land Spike on the ladder. And all he does is land flat on his fucking arse.
What's that called, Steve? Total penetration?
Oh, yeah.
Total penetration! Thank you. But thanks, he bumps on the ladder himself, saving Tommy Dreamer from bumping the ladder. So,
or was it Tommy Dreamer?
Yeah.
And he rolls away relatively unscathed. Thanks very much.
What a gem.
This match had a lot of senton bombs. I mean, this had about eight, it's ridiculous. You know. And then if you count other matches, I get the feeling that no wrestler here talked backstage, like, so what are you going to work over? What am I going to work? You know what I mean? It's just, everyone just does moves, you know?
Time to go home. Everyone hits L1 and tries to pull off their finisher. LSD's acid drop is countered and he's thrown through a table. Sandman swings a Singapore cane into Big's dick. Bubba misses and gets a Dreamer DDT onto the ladder and gets the three. So the faces win and Dreamer avenges honor. What do you do? He reclaims Beulah's honor. And then when he gets beaten
doesn't
up...
Doesn't fix her fucking neck, does
it? No, that's true. He just wrestled a match.
Could have just went to the hospital and spent some time with her.
No, yeah, that's true.
Box of chocolates.
Going out drinking beer with the lads.
Yeah.
Post-match, Jack Victory does a Jeff Jarrett and smashes a soot-filled guitar over Dreamer.
Why do they do that?
Fill it with powder.
Yeah, talc, yeah. Freedom powder.
Freedom powder. It's so something go...
But it doesn't make sense. They do the same thing with concrete. Do you remember when the NWO came to the WWF feuding with Austin? Scott Hall got a cinder block and hit Austin's knee with it, and it just...
Yeah.
Sha, sha, sha. I don't know. Maybe it's a magic trick or something. Yeah, so Jack Victory, he looks like a blonde mulleted crush.
Yeah. Fatter, though.
Hmm. Homeless New Jack wheels his shopping cart to the ring. Falls around the ring, smashing people stiffly with his garbage.
Can we just not talk about this and say he came in and hit people and ended?
Yeah.
I hate him.
One thing I do like, it's a gimmick you don't see, is his music plays for the entire time.
That is awesome. Dude battering people with weapons and Dre's Natural Born Thrillers is playing.
It's New Jack! It's the original gangster New Jack! We're gonna see that weapons match after all!
Faces clear the ring, set up three ladders and pose atop. Fuck you, where's Spike's ladder, arseholes?
Oh, New Jack
Dreamer,
was on the ladder.
Sandman were on the ladders. And Spike had to pretend, I'm just going to walk around. He covered it well. You know, I don't have a ladder, I'm going to pretend.
He should have, jumped on fucking Dreamer's back and been like, woo, or something, you know?
Yeah. Or the front of one of the ladders or something.
Yeah, 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 they're two-sided.
Or tell New Jack to fuck off. This is my match. Oh, so what do you think?
I thought it was another entertaining match. Yeah, it was a bit garbagey. I much preferred it over the Bam Bam Taz match. Just a lot of spots, lots of fun, different. Not as heated as it should have been, by no means.
Mm.
But
Beulah should have been there with her neck brace on.
Yeah.
Maybe they saw the Pitbull 1, Pitbull 2 thing.
Pitbull Gary, Pitbull Anto.
Cut that out, mate.
And it's a shame Sandman was in the match, although I did like his Frank and Sander. But it was better, much better than the main event from last OSW review.
Mm.
It's a very house show way to finish a night, where you really is turn your brain off, do a few spots. Since there's six men, you can all only do two spots each and then you're grand, you know. I didn't enjoy this garbage trash brawling after another garbage trash brawling that went around the ring. And I like Spike, but nah, didn't have time for it. And Jack Victory and New Jack can fuck off.
Yeah, I thought that the plot going in was great. Everyone was over. A lot of crazy spots. Not as much brawling as I thought. I liked everything except for the afters, like when New Jack Victory came out. I had no time for that. Overall, I thought this match was fine. I didn't enjoy it as much as Taz and Bam Bam, but still fine.
The ECW theme hits, i.e. it's closing time, please leave. And Styles bid us adieu, and we're out.
Well, fans, that about wraps it up from Heatwave 98. ECW will return to pay-per-view on Sunday night, November 1st. November to Remember 98. This is Joey Styles saying thanks a lot. We're signing off at Heatwave 98.
Steve, what did you think of the pay-per-view overall?
I loved this show. Good, Credible versus Lynn. I expected to hate this because I hate Just Incredible, but it was very good. Great opening. Everything that Heyman talked over, all the pre-match promos were exceptional, although I thought that the Taz one could have been a little bit better. Chris Candido versus Storm, very, very enjoyable match. Awesome versus Tanaka is probably the best match we've done it got everything right. Story, the characters, the actual match. Both guys came out looking great. I think the character of Taz is great. I enjoyed the match. I enjoyed the Dudley's intro and Joel Gertner. Sorry, Jay. And the main event was fine. And things that I didn't like, I thought Chris Candido gassed at the end of the match, and I didn't like Tammy. Many chair shots to head, especially the last one with Bubba. The tag match here that I didn't like. I thought, not liking isn't the right word, but I just thought it fell apart. And New Jack. But other than that, I pretty much liked everything else. I'd give 2 thumbs up and highly recommend it to everyone.
I would say this is by far the best pay-per-view we've reviewed. One of the best pay-per-views I've seen. As far as ECW, WCW, WWF is concerned, we're probably going to get a lot of abuse for that.
You're entitled. It's your opinion.
Yeah, it's my opinion. I thought the first match was good. The second match was good. Like, they're very good. They're very good. It's just compared to what's coming next, they've ranked on good. Awesome Tanaka, fucking phenomenal match. Then, of course, the tag match, fucking amazing in my opinion. Bigelow Taz, didn't like the match, loved the ending, but I loved the feud and the background to the match. So it was very clever. I like what they were doing, and Taz was really, really good. The last match, again, like the feud coming into it, enjoyed the match, thought it was a lot of fun. Possibly what was missing from this pay-per-view, other than Cronus, is some kind of mat wrestling match. We'll say something, like, I know Storm Candido had a bit of that, but there was a lot of high-flying as well. Like something like an Eddie Benoit kind of match where, you know, very fast-paced mat wrestling. You know, not boring, not like rest holds. I'm talking, you know.
You're thinking of Bret and Owen at wrestling. I know it. Admit it. A great match, by the way.
It is a good match.
So,
a great match.
So, 3 thumbs up.
Yeah, has this ever happened?
Oh, I haven't given my opinion yet.
Oh, the Joel Gertner promo was terrible.
2 out of 10.
Yeah.
Oh, and I love the Joel Gertner promo.
Easily the best pay-per-view I've watched for OSW.
There we go. 3 out of 3.
It was such an easy viewing. Far superior to Barely Legal in every way. Matches had storylines which made sense, and the outcomes progressed said storylines. No cheap finishes. Everyone's booked to their strengths. Better production values, lighting, AV, etc. Perfect booking. Like, Lynn gets the most out of credible. Hardcore work rate tag match with RVD Sabu. Hide Sandman in a 6-man. Tiny face Dudley gets battered by the big heel Dudleys and, you know, come out on top in the end. Perfect stuff. Main event, bit of a wash since it was just a schmoz brawl, but the only thing missing in this pay-per-view is like a killer promo. And on any of the negatives I've had, they'd all be nitpicks. Overall, thoroughly excellent. Seek this one out, and if you're in America, you can boot up the WWE Network and watch it.
Ah, oh, it's on fucking next Monday, you bastards.
Because Irish don't get it.
So what I want you to do is remember your 3 eyes. Come on out here and give it your all.
3 eyes, JR.
His opponent.
Section of Brooklyn, weighing 248 pounds,
Taz! It's Taz!
So, how did Heatwave 98 do? Heatwave 98 was named Wrestling Observer's Best Major Show and is lauded as one of the best pay-per-views of all time, bringing in 70,000 buys with 4,376 packed into the Harrah Arena in Dayton, Ohio. They paid about $25 per ticket. ECW would remain in this 70 to 75,000 pay-per-view buys and then rise around kind of 90,000 over 99 and 2000. However, ECW were still losing stars to the big leagues. Like, talent from Heatwave 98, this show, like come 2000, Lance Storm, Candido, Tammy, Bam Bam, and Mike Awesome would be in WCW, while Taz and the Dudley Boys would be in the WWF. Like, they couldn't really overcome losing that amount of talent. And then that's when you'll see Jerry Lynn, Just Incredible, Sandman, Rhino being champion.
Has like Vince ever said why he decided to go for Taz instead of RVD?
It is because Taz was the world champion, and I heard this great thing about Suplex King. All of that.
God.
But if you see how they booked Taz in the WWF, great in his initial match, then off a cliff. So you bought him to bench him and to fuck over ECW.
What possessed them to book him to go over Angle for the first time? That's straight. If you're not going to capitalize on that and rocket him to the moon with Max, what's the point in petting, bringing him in other than to damage your competition? But they're not even competition.
Mm. Yeah. So what happened to these ECW guys? Well, Mike Awesome signed with WCW while still holding the ECW championship, claiming overdue wages and a lovely salary in WCW, and the legal issues were settled by having the WCW employee drop the belt at an ECW show. And in an amazing twist, Taz, who was under contract to the WWF, wrestled him and choked him out and became ECW champion.
And then jobbed Triple H on SmackDown.
Yeah, he actually brought the belt, the ECW belt, with him to SmackDown, where WWF champion Triple H jobbed him out in 6 minutes halfway through SmackDown. Cheers.
God bless that man.
Hilariously, Vince recounted it, saying it was a pretty crummy thing to do, but he thought it was the right thing at the time.
How was it the whatever.
It's not right for anyone, really.
No.
Welcome back to ECW Wrestling on TNN. You still have about a half an hour left of hardcore wrestling action, and then the Friday Night Thrill Zone continues. At the top of the next hour, it's the season premiere of Roller Jam and a rematch from last year's Founders Cup Championship as the California Quakes defend against the New York Enforcers.
So what happened to ECW? As mentioned previously, ECW had a local TV show, Hardcore TV, from 1993 that was sprinkled throughout America. But ECW weren't paid to do that. It was actually the opposite. They actually had to pay $4,000 to $5,000 to each area to syndicate the show.
Oh my god.
But haha, here we go. Starting in August 99, Paul E. struck a deal with TNN to broadcast nationally. It was a terrible deal. ECW got about 5% from the advertising revenue during their show and were not paid for producing the show. Like, they just had a tiny production budget.
So that just means that their costs go up because you have to increase how your show looks because you can't have a fucking dingy shitbag going national. Oh my god.
They're probably barely breaking even.
Yeah. Oh, they obviously weren't if people were already going at that point saying, oh, you owe me $150,000, dude.
TNN reasons, hey, this is free exposure on a big channel in a good time slot. And, well, because they were on TNN, money came in from their video game deal, t-shirt, home video distribution.
I bought that game. It's pretty good.
But no real money from TNN themselves. So, being part of TNN's Friday Night Thrill Zone leading into Roller Jam wasn't paying off.
You see, in just a few weeks, the network is going to give $100 million to Vince McMahon like he needs it to replace us. In case they haven't thrown us off before then. And the fact of the matter is, we're not a publicly funded company like Vince McMahon or WCW. We survive or even thrive on your support, and for that, we thank you. Now, in an industry where everybody wants to be real and everybody wants to do a shoot, this, my friends, is a shoot. We hate this stinking network. We hate their guts for abandoning us. We hate their guts for not supporting us. We hate their guts for not advertising us. And we hate their guts for not having the balls to throw us off the air. And just in case you're watching this, hey, network, I dare you to throw me off the air. Because I'm going to break every rule that you put in front of me until you throw me the hell off the air.
I hope you had fun with your dirty limerick. Because I'm here to tell you, this show is cancelled!
A massive problem for ECW is that it only drew about half of what TNN expected. Like, wrestling is niche, hardcore wrestling is niche, extreme hardcore wrestling is incredibly niche. Heyman cites a small production budget and limited advertisement as the cause of that. TNN, oh my god, they acquired WWF Raw starting in September 2000, which obviously enough made having ECW superfluous. So less than 14 months into their 3-year deal, TNN cancelled ECW's TV show.
Did they get like a severance package? Like that Paul, I got the Mexico
maybe.
Voice.
Yeah. WCW were in similar dire circumstances, Jamie Kellner axing WCW programming from TNT. This was the real killer, not being able to secure another TV deal after being cancelled. It's a really weird time in wrestling. So, 9 days before WWF produced what's said to be the peak of the Attitude Era, WrestleMania X7, WWF bought WCW. And 3 days after the event, Paul Heyman filed for bankruptcy for ECW. So, well, no rest for the wicked, as Heyman was already a month into his WWF career as color commentator alongside JR, Jerry Lawler having walked out over his wife being fired.
It's like my favourite time frame ever on commentary. It was just magic.
And wrestling in general.
He kept JR fucking sharp, didn't he? Great.
So ECW were done, and WCW were done, and Vince McMahon had no more competition in America. A few months after its demise, WWF had planned to relaunch WCW as a separate entity. But even WWF couldn't secure a TV deal. Like, no one wanted to touch WCW. So what did WWF do? They said, fuck you, you don't want WCW program? Fine, we'll integrate WCW wrestlers into the WWF and then split the rosters.
And bury them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vince bolstered WCW's ranks by having notable ECW alums defect from the WWF to form ECW, who joined WCW's band of merry jobbers. Despite being... the whole invasion angle was a lot of fun, but the whole thing was mishandled quite poorly, and by November, WWF ended the angle and integrated everyone back under one umbrella. WCW was dead again, and ECW too. Or was it? No. But that's where our story ends for now. So before we sign out and tell you what's coming up next time, let's hit the wrestling is... segment.
Awesome!
is extinct. I killed them.
Episode 36, Heat Wave 98. In the box.
In the pocket.
Out of sight.
Good stuff, Lance.
Yep.
ECW would lay dormant for a few years, but would not stay down. Next up is WWE's ECW Revival, one of the greatest pay-per-views of all time. ECW One Night Stand 2005. So join us next time for that. Until then, remember you can watch all of our videos. Fuck! Free of charge and an IMAX flavored 4:3 full screen right here at youtube.com/OSWReviewHD. Like this video and leave us a lovely message, why not? Special thanks to Luke, Rory and Davin at piledriverwrestling.net, our boy Chris Maffei for our new awesome metal theme song.
Great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you very much, sir.
Steve Yurko at steveyurko.tumblr.com, reloadlastsave.com and at Fizz versus the World for their talents. And go to t-shirt.oswbrew.com and order our tea, and you'll be buying one of us a pint. So it's a goodbye from Mr. Ozzy.
Yep.
V1.
Take a boot.
And myself, Jay Hunter. And remember, a winner is you.
What would you do if you were walking down the road, yeah, and someone was like, are you OC? And you're like, I am. And he's like, see you with your psychology now. What would you do? Would you just bang?
Do we hit the floor?
No. Swoon, basically.
Yeah.
Well, you were wearing a Mr. OC t-shirt
at the time. I'd stop for a chat unless I had somewhere to be, and I never have anywhere to be.